This is a replay of the Thursday night, March 26th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. Analyst Sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. I'll try to play your requests. I've also got a musical mystery to unravel. Maybe you can help. I don't know. And on top of that, yes, there is a city where it's illegal to die. Yeah, absolutely illegal. All right. So when you hear the details, though, it makes sense, though. I'm not 100% sure they're accounting for sudden deaths, like, you know, dropping over. All right. So here is the deal. There is a most northernmost city. And what amazed me is there's 2,500 people living in it. And it's a name I can't pronounce. It's a remote Arctic settlement, obviously belonging to Norway, which is why I can't pronounce it, in the polar circle, pretty much deep inside the polar circle. And so temperatures are usually below freezing, often far below freezing, and the ground beneath the town is permanently frozen. It absolutely is permafrost. And that becomes interesting because when you deal with permafrost and it's more like concrete than dirt as far as that goes. And to an extent, it defines how people live there and unexpectedly how they die there. Now, most places bury the dead and move on. Well, in the past, this town did that. But what they discovered, and this changed everything, was that the graves were there were no longer resting places for the deceased. It was absolutely manna to viruses. It became a biological risk. In fact, the pandemic of 1918, the flu deal, turns out that decades later, they unearthed someone who had died in that period. And guess what? The viruses were very much alive. And so that caused people to take notice, to say the least. Yeah, right. And so now the deal is that if you're terminally ill or look like you're going to go, they fly you to Norway, about 2,000 miles or so. But yeah, what the problem is that, okay, it's permafrost, but if the ground thaws even slightly, there are pathogens that absolutely could reemerge. And so when they discovered this, that was taken very seriously. And as a result, they stopped burying. And so the local cemetery was closed. Yes, new bodies haven't been there in decades. But what's interesting to me is, okay, if a resident's seriously ill, they transport them to mainland Norway. I get that. nothing in the article I read says what they do when someone just drops dead on the street. And so, needless to say, there's urgency to it, and I assume they just fly out the body. But yeah, who would have thought it? So it's illegal to die there. It sounds like it's illegal to live there, too, but that's another subject. And we thank Gordon for that story. I delighted reading that today. Now, before I get to the musical mystery, And we have one. So I'm trying to clean up email. I was actually looking for the email from our filming buddy in South Carolina and couldn't find it, but yet. But I probably will come across it eventually. But in the meantime, I'm coming across things you wrote months ago. All right, that I didn't throw out, and some that had persistent people, thank you very much, resending when they don't hear from me. But Marty in Whiting has a request. So, okay, Marty, what is it you want to hear?
Yes, it's by the tokens originally. The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Okay, of course, not originally, as you well know. That's an ancient song, but certainly in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the tokens did it, and I'll be happy to do that for you, Marty.
And Raleigh, in the same vein, two nights ago, uh-huh. I talked to, his name is Lionel.
Uh-huh.
He follows your show.
Okay.
He told me to tell you personally, tell Raleigh, Lionel said hi.
Oh, well, and hi back at Lionel. Yes, I remember he was in radio in Tampa, I think, when I was still radio editor for Billboard, and I know that I put his name in Vox Jocks more than once.
Okay, then, right. Again, Raleigh, the same vein, bear with me. The other night, this woman, I was falling asleep in my bedroom. He's like, the first caller, he's like, Ruth from Chicago. Ruth from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I sit up in my bed. It's like, am I going to finally hear the lion speak?
So did
the
we
lion speak.
Did we find out what the lion said to her? Did we finally find this out?
Well, I brought that up to him, and that's what our conversation. He's like, because Marty, she's never called me back before.
Ah. Well, maybe she'll tell us what the lion said, and you can pass it along to Lionel. All right. Well, thank you.
And Raleigh, real quick, though, but the tokens, was the tokens of 1962?
Well, tokens were around from the 50s, actually. Neil Sedaka was in the formation of that. But as far as the lion sleeps tonight, yeah, but it'd be about then. I'm trying to remember. I'm envisioning the 45 in my mind, and I think about then. Might have been 61.
1971 or 72, it came, yeah, I think it came was, out again, yeah, by another group.
Oh, yeah, actually Robert John. But the deal is, I think it was 61. It was an RCA recording. So I'm pretty sure it was 61. But yes, The Lion Sleeps Tonight was redone by Robert John and several other people as well.
Well, if you don't mind, request that, obviously,
sure.
Not tonight, but all jokes aside, tonight my landlord lives below me here in Whiting.
Uh-huh.
He played the Robert Johns edition.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it was 1962 on Atlantic. There were some really nice Robert John songs, including some that were not very successful, but I loved his stuff when he was on Columbia. So sadly, he's no longer with us. But all right, good deal. We'll get the tokens on, and we'll talk about the lawsuit regarding the writing. So I'll do that, too. All right.
Bye, dear.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. But we have a mystery. Well, I do, to an extent. And it was Greg in South Charleston, West Virginia, who wrote. And back, I think, the beginning of February. Anyway, he said, my stepdad played guitar with a local band from Charleston in the early 60s named the Mark IV. They recorded the attached song, How Sweet It Is, on Calla. All right, now that's not C-A-L-L-A, the label that Moish Levy associate Nate Calla had. This is K-A-L-A. So my first thought, before I even go to YouTube to find out what does this sound like, because I was unaware of the record entirely, I thought, let me find out about the record. All right. Yeah, right. And that's where, yeah, for hours, John has watched me on this, because it is, as far as I'm concerned, a fascinating story. And what's fascinating to this is what I don't know. So maybe you do. First, I found out, yes, the record exists. And so I see what it is. I see actually the one that he sent me was the flip side. But I look up Kala Records, and it's K-A-L-A. And I discover that it's a label in Charleston that released one and only one 45 RPM by Sandy Kala and the Mark IV. All right. With the Mark IV, I should say. All right. So now I figure the only way I can't find Sandy Kala, you know, you do all that. And if, you know, if there is one in Charleston, I don't know what happened to this woman. It is female. So I figure, well, I'm going to follow Kala Records. If they only had one release, let me see how that happened. And that's when I discovered that this one release was actually something on Columbia Special Products. And, you know, they press things for little labels, or they press promotional things like the thing I played last night on Paul Revere and the Raiders, SS-396. That was Columbia Special Products. So both Columbia and Warner Brothers had a special products division where they would release albums or singles or whatever for entities, either small labels or individuals. But usually, you know, you had to have the clouded GM behind you or something, or a label or whatever. So, and they probably pressed this particular record, from what I could tell, at the Terre Haute plant. Now, that wasn't the interesting part. The fact that this is an unknown one-shot is what got me. Because I'm like, okay, who is Sandy Kala? Obviously, the label's named after her. How the hell did she get to Columbia Special Products? And so I look intently at the label. I scour it. And what I discover is the producer, Ike Joseph. And I say to myself, well, who's that, right? So I start to research Ike Joseph. He's probably no longer with us. His son, most likely, is a very big deal in Charleston, on the board of directors of all sorts of things, and very accomplished. And his grandson is a nurse anesthetist in Charleston. But I don't think he's alive. But in any event, in the mid-50s, he was a singer, a producer, a promoter, and I think that he was Johnny Urban on one record before I go on Cadillac. Cadillac did exist. It was a Detroit area label. They had just a few releases. And then next thing I see associated with his name is he produced a song by Al Elias. Now, Al Elias existed. He was an older guy from Charleston. One song on RCA. All right. Then he wrote and produced a song on Mark, M-A-R-C. It was a little Cleveland label, and they probably had half a dozen releases for someone named Buddy Norman. Now, whether he was Buddy, I don't know that. So, 1958, he writes a song that a local group, the Rondells, do on Carlton. You know, that's Joe Carlton's label, legit. 1959 on Decca. The Teen Tones release a song that Ike wrote. And, all right, whether he produced it or was otherwise in it, I don't know. Now, 59 through 62, he was Johnny Rocker, and he has three releases, Federal, Karen, and RCA. And the first thing I look at is Karen, because Karen was one of Ollie McLaughlin's labels from Ann Arbor. Ollie was a disc jockey. He's the guy who, came up with Barbara Lewis and Hello Stranger and all that stuff, and the Capitals, Cool Jerk, licensed his stuff to Atlantic. But all right, I don't know how he winds up with Karen, but Federal and RCA are a little more understandable. But so Johnny was a country act, and I think RCA released a single and maybe an album. So I'm assuming that it was Ike Joseph who put Sandy Kala and the Mark IV together with Columbia Special Products. So beyond that, I know nothing. So I look at everything I can for Ike Joseph, and Ike was his middle name. I think real name was Richard. So if you're looking for the son or the grandson, I think you got to do it as Richard. But in any event, I know nothing about this or what was going on in Charleston. But I assume that Ike Joseph was probably, you know, involved, whether it was record hops or producing them or what have you. I don't know that he was ever on the radio, but clearly he was in the groups and things like this. But if you know anything at all about Ike Joseph, I will tell you that Greg in Charleston wants to know, because now, if you know about Sandy Kala, even better. Now, as far as the Mark IV, well, a lot of groups with that name, including one in Chicago that was around for years, but no relationship to it. And so the flip side, how sweet it is what Greg wanted to hear. I'll play it for you. and I have earthly no idea. Did occur to me that Johnny Goen worked in Charleston, but I think, in fact, John had mentioned that too, I think that was quite a bit after Ike's days, but maybe you'll know. All right, and of course, he can call and promote what he's doing Sunday night on soulofthecity.net. But we'll get to Chris in Greenwood. Okay, meantime, I will look ardently again for his email, which so far I haven't found, and I will hope for your calls. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Well, we probably can't say much about Ike's production technique, that's for sure. Yes, however, that's Sandy Calla with the Mark IV and How Sweet It Is, a flip side. And yeah, if you know anything about it, well, Greg wants to know. So I'll send him an email and let him know that, because I'm not sure he listens live, but let him know that we played it and what I know. Maybe he can find his son, because I'm sure the guy who's on the board of directors of that credit union is probably his son. How many Ike Josephs would there be? And Ike was actually the middle name, Raymond I. Joseph, if you're from Charleston. If you have any information, let me know what it is, because it's truly curious to me. I like it. Chris in Greenwood, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm doing good.
I looked. I never found your email.
Yeah, I found it.
Nope.
It's on the Lander website. Just go to landerfilmfestival.com and you'll
all
see
right.
it.
Hang on a minute. The news has started, and I forgot all about it, so don't go away.
Crow every morning full day. Yes, what make it roast down? Crow every morning full day. Too late to pelt and rhyme the gnome. The wagon man is on his way. Well, a woman will swear that she'd love you and love you with all her might. Yes, a woman will swear that she'd love you and love you with all her might. And I'll meet another man right round the corner, and we'll tell that same lie twice.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It was Dave on the north side who wanted Robert Nighthawk, Crowing Rooster Blues was actually 1964 on Testament. All right, now back to Chris. I found She Did It on the Lander website. Never did find his email. I searched for it in all sorts of ways, and absolutely nothing came up. But that's right. We have the movie, which is 5 minutes, and I'll get a link on Raleigh.net to the entire thing. But we'll hear together how it starts, at least.
Hi, Dr. Hutch Pershberger. I just don't know what to say. My name's Elizabeth Morrow, and I just have a terrible, terrible problem.
Well, Elizabeth, is it okay if I call you Elizabeth?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
Well, tell me, what sort of issue are you having?
Well, I don't know. I've just been having some major hallucinations, and I've just done something terrible, I'm afraid. Something really, really awful.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I'm afraid that maybe she's after me, and she's making me do things.
All right, so fine start. There you go, Chris. Can't wait to hear the rest of it. So good work.
Hey.
All right. My only comment, yeah, I do, and if you, hopefully you'll hear me too. My only comment, and I said this about your films previously, is your audio is terrible. You need to find a way to mic this so it doesn't sound so hollow.
Yeah.
That's
because I got a Samsung camcorder.
Yeah, well, it's the way it's mic'd. It's not a question of the recorder, and you might need to get with somebody who knows audio who can give you some tips, because I'm positive that that's probably why you're not in the finals. Is the audio is just not good. But I love the way it begins. I can't wait to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Go to the 208 mark. You can hear stuff clear. Just a little clip. Just the 208, the 254, where she argues with herself.
Okay. Well, let's see how we do here at 208.
You okay in there? I'm waiting.
I'll be out soon. Sorry. You will not be out soon. You aren't going anywhere. What are you talking about, Lizzie? Oh, shut up, you cheap Lizzie. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You and your stupid boyfriend make me sick.
Hey, what's going on in there?
Okay, this is the deal, Chris. It's the audio that's killing you. I guarantee it. Between now and next year, you need to get with somebody who can help you on audio.
Yeah, because I use Windows Movie Maker.
Well, I'm not getting into any of the particulars or any of this. I can tell you it's gonna come to miking technique, and you're obviously not using one, for one thing, let alone multiple. So find somebody, either at the local college or whatever the Lander Film Society is or whatever, who can help you with audio, because this is your weak spot, and that's what's holding you back.
Okay. Yeah, but the picture plays good, don't it?
Oh, absolutely. The picture is fine, but the audio is downright distracting. And I can almost bet that you're not going to make those finals until you fix this. And it's probably not that difficult to fix, but you need somebody who knows what they're doing to walk you through how to do this.
Okay.
But I can't wait.
Yeah, I'll try to get the audio right.
Yeah, that's the key. For next year, I want good audio. So what I am going to do is get a link to She Did It, and I'll watch the whole thing after the show. Good going.
Thank you, and I got the 10-minute version coming up soon.
Okay.
On YouTube.
All right, well, let us know. We'll add that as well. And as I say, we're going to look forward to good audio next year.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw the actresses and actors on it.
Oh yeah, I got all of that. I have no problem with the video on any of it. It's the audio that's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I give a shout out to them, the two that you heard.
Okay.
Yeah, the Elizabeth Morrow woman that has the DID. Her name is Peggy Golson. Shout out to you.
All right,
and
Peggy.
The guy, the boyfriend, is David Norville.
Right.
And the doctor that she's talking to in the beginning, that's Shelley Reed, and he's a legend in films himself. He was on the recent
All right, your cell phone's killing you. And Sylvia McGinnis was the lady in the cafe, and all the credits are on the at the end of the clip as well. So it's great. The only thing wrong, I'm telling you, the only reason that you're not in that running is that audio. And you know, even Shelley might be able to help you.
Mm-hmm. Because you know he was on a movie himself on Radio in the Long Shadows, which premiered last year.
Well, if he can't help you, he probably knows who can, and that will make a world of difference for you. But so far, I'm captivated. I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you so much for your support, Raleigh.
Absolutely.
And I enjoyed it.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
And also, can you send a prayer out to my aunt Wertha? She's going surgery tomorrow.
Okay, what's her first name?
Melissa.
Melissa. Okay, prayer for Melissa and her surgery tomorrow, which hopefully will be smooth sailing.
Yeah, because you've got that cortisol to remove.
Okay. Well, hopefully it's routine, and tomorrow at this point she'll be feeling fine.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And I hope I have a great weekend, and I got the house to myself since they're going to be in Augusta.
Oh, okay.
It ain't too far from Greenwood.
Okay, I like it. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, good deal. Okay, well,
good deal. I hope I have a premiere movie from my She Did It movie soon.
Yeah.
Where I get all my friends together and watch the 10-minute version.
Oh, yeah. And, well, as soon as that 10-minute version is up, we'll get a link to that as well. So I'm looking forward to it. And keep me posted.
I will.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You too. Yeah, the video's just fine on it. It's just the audio. And, you know, it's not just Chris. Very often on anything that has a video component, the audio is at best an afterthought. But there are times when, man, you just gotta step that up. And he will. So 888-876-5593. So what's the story on The Lion Sleeps Tonight? Well, I'll tell you about it. But if you want to talk about something else, that's even better on WGN Radio.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the quiet jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Near the village, the peaceful village, the lion sleeps tonight. Near the village, the quiet village, the lion sleeps tonight.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The saga of Weemaway. All right, The Lion Sleeps Tonight. And happy to play it. So here's the deal. The version that was requested, of course, 1961, the Tolkien's. If you look at the writer's credit, basically Hugo and Luigi, who produced it, well-known producers, RCA at the time, are listed for the writer's credit. All right. Now, of course, go back a little further. Go back to 1951 in the United States, and what you're going to get is you're going to get Pete Seeger. And Pete Seeger recorded it with the Weavers as Weemaway, like I say. Didn't do anything, to say the least. But let's back up further. We'll get to it. This actually was Solomon Linda. And Solomon Linda wrote it, composed it, 1939. He did not do the English lyrics, to say the least, but, you know, the melody and the sounds and all that were pretty much Solomon Linda. Now, Linda was a migrant worker. He was a Zulu, and he had a little group, the Evening Birds, and without any rehearsal at all, they recorded Mbube, M-B-U-B-E. That's what's on the Singer label, and that's what it was released on a 78. And it fused traditional Zulu elements with Western influences, and it was released in the Union of South Africa. Widespread popularity. Linda was a local celebrity, and of course, Linda was also, well, naive, to say the least. The owner of the record company bought the rights to Mbube for $10, well, 10 shillings. Now, of course, Linda didn't understand what that meant in terms of royalties or anything like that. So, meanwhile, Mbube is sent to a record label in the U.S., and ultimately that's how Pete Seeger and the Weavers got it as Weemaway. Well, now, here comes Hugo and Luigi, and by the mid-2000s, 150 artists had covered it. It was in the 1994 Disney movie, The Lion King. It earned about $15 million in royalties. Now, Solomon Linda had died like 30 years earlier and was not recognized for The Lion Sleep Tonight. His descendants were absolutely destitute, but emboldened, especially when the Disney stuff came out and all that. They filed a lawsuit against Disney in 2004, and ultimately, the Disney paid them a lump sum for the past royalties and offered a share of future revenue. And this has all sorts of legal implications. In fact, if you're studying copyright law in Great Britain, you'll study about this. But the bottom line is that the song is now associated with racial exploitation due to the song and Linda's history. And in fact, it was a part inspiration for the 2020 film Black is King. But so that was the deal. Unlikely that the tokens had any idea, to say the least, of much of this, but that therein is the deal. Supposedly, the lyrics, which are in Zulu, are said to document an episode of Solomon Linda's childhood when he was chased by a lion while herding cattle. Yeah. Leave it, indeed it thunders, lion, ha, the lion, lion. Yeah, all right, so that's the deal. And you know, you listen to it, and I should probably pull it, because it's probably on YouTube, I would bet. And it sold over 100,000 copies in Africa in the 40s, and probably the first South African hit. And it made Linda a legend, if not wealthy. And wealthy he wasn't. He didn't profit at all. All right, so that's the story of the Weavers. 888-876-5593. And we'll pick it up right there, and the story of Weemaway, and the story of the tokens, and everything else. And, all that and more coming up, including, we'll get out 2020 news. I know that's a big request, and you'll hear it coming up on WGN Radio.
We move that.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Sounds like Wimoe to me as well, but Mbube is what they're actually singing. Solomon Linda's original song. Yes, The Evening Birds was his group, 1939. I always thought it was on the Gallstone label. I have the 78, but it's Gallatone. So that was an S, actually an O. So Gallatone, not the Gallstone label. I thought as the Gallstone label, probably actually sounded better considering how bad that song sounds. Now, in between that and the Tokens came the Weavers. So you got to hear a little of that too, I would suppose. And of course, no lawsuits until, actually not even the Tokens, until Disney. All right, so in 1952, the Weavers and Gordon Jenkins. Solomon Linda actually sounds better than the Weavers there with Gordon Jenkins. Gordon Jenkins was the chorus and orchestra. The Weavers were the sound effects. That's the best way to put it. But like I say, nobody complained because that really wasn't a hit. And even Lion Sleeps Tonight, which was a hit. But man, by the time it's in Lion King and it's Disney and all that, yeah, Solomon Linda's family come a-callin'. So that concludes the story of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Hopefully we'll never have to tell it again. All right, so we asked for Laura in Willowbrook, and she materialized. So, Laura, how are you?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. Oh, my God, Raleigh. I miss everybody so bad, you wouldn't believe it. I have not been able, I'm sorry to say, I've been not able to catch up on your show much at all because of all the stuff I'm doing. I'm in rehab and all this, but hey, now on, you've got the dial on every day. Every day you're on, I'm listening, girl.
Oh, man. So is rehab over?
No, I'm hopefully halfway through or if not more. Yeah, a silly thing. I didn't realize, but my brother had this too, and I didn't know it. And I was having walking problems. All of a sudden, like now, I can stand up on my foot, but I can't actually walk right at the moment. I haven't tried recently, but a couple of weeks ago, I was like, okay, it's ridiculous. Some kind of, I don't know, neuropathy or something. But one of the things is a doctor here kept saying, well, you know, I don't know what it is. We've done all kinds of tests. We've done x-rays. We've done blood tests. We've done this. I don't know what else it could be. So then my sister-in-law, who's a nurse, and he, a doctor, and somebody else came up with, you know, a lot of the things, not that this is it, but a lot of things that's in your mind. You got to will yourself to be able to do something. And I know, and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, who have sort of some of the same stuff, she says, you know, you're right. once you get in the right mindset. I mean, of course I want to walk. Who doesn't? But I just didn't understand that.
That's fascinating because the body-mind connection is so important, yet so elusive. You know, it's very easy for us to talk about the body-mind connection. It's another thing to actually be able to do something to triumph when you're in this situation. That is really tough.
Yes, yes. And it's about 6 weeks ago that I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm always thinking, well, there's got to be something medically wrong. I mean, when they move my leg, my muscles will move. So then why the heck can't I walk? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, anyway. And I hesitate when they make it a body-mind connection because so often they say that whenever they have no clue, and it may not be. You know, we don't
right.
know. But so in therapy, when you're in rehab for this, what kind of therapy do they do for this?
Well, at the beginning, when I was walking a little bit, do the stairs up and down, because lovely me, I have 29 stairs. Ugh. But anyway, stretch your muscles, just basically work each leg, work each individual toe, each individual foot, and each individual heel. Just twisting them around, having me do it, see how much I can do, and then they stretch it out to where they help me a little bit more if I can't. And also, I didn't think of this, but that's another smart thing if anybody ever has walking issues, arm strength. If you don't have arm strength, you're not in very good shape there. Because if you got to lift yourself off the chair, how are you going to do that if you don't have any arm strength?
Right. So are you working with an ergometer to build up more arm strength?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yep. Know that one well. Yes. Now, how about aquatic therapy?
I don't know about that. That would be wonderful.
Well, yes, because, of course, you're weightless in water. And so there are things that you can do in water that you cannot do, you know. So I would definitely investigate. Now, the facility you're dealing with may not have that capability, but there are others that absolutely do. And I would consider at least some aquatic therapy to see if that made any difference.
And now, these places over here, I don't know, they're probably not therapy places. But we got a YMCA over here, and we've got the famous, what's that rehab famous in Warrenville? Oh, God. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Well, bottom line is you've got some options. And so it's something to at least look into because it sounds pretty elusive. And while I absolutely believe in the body-mind connection, too often they just they default to that when they don't know what else it is, and it might be something very physical.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I'm sorry,
you're
dealing with this.
Me too. But luckily, I'm going from one nice rehab to another. And it'll have a different set of doctors, so maybe they can figure something out.
Well, good. And hopefully wherever you're going will have aquatic capabilities.
Yeah, so how's things been, Riley?
Oh, you know, it's the same old. Nothing changes here.
Okay. Well, you know me, I got to get my butt out of here so I can do some more theater.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you again. Thank you for checking in.
All right. Thanks, Riley. Take care, everybody.
Okay, bye. Yes, indeed. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh, and I'm so glad that we heard from Laura. Stan in Dearborn, what's up tonight?
Hi, Raleigh. I heard the Alliance Leads Tonight story, and quite interesting. And I've got a couple of Alliance Leads Tonight a cappella. But one in particular that I think you might be interested in came out in 1990, and you're probably familiar with it. It's by Ladysmith Black Monsambo with the Mint Juleps.
Huh, I don't know. I am absolutely aware of it, and I know I've actually got it on this computer. I should play it. I will.
It's pretty unique. And, well, it's 4.5 minutes long, but...
Well, we won't play all of it, but we'll play some of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And BQE, Brooklyn Queens Expressway, had a good version of it as well.
Yes, that I do recall. All right, so let's while we're talking, let's hear some of Ladysmith here. Of course, they're cheating a little. It is a gal who is doing the high voices.
Yeah.
But you know, it's I think there's something about Solomon Linda that nobody has captured. But it's still nice.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is on the label credits, they give Solomon Linda credit.
As well, they should.
Yes.
And, of course, the only reason we know about them is because of Paul Simon's Graceland album, and they are South African, and they've got, like, Grammys and all this kind of stuff. But if it weren't for that Graceland album, we'd probably still be wondering who they were.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's great. Yeah. As I say that, Solomon Linda, there's something about the way he sings it that just, granted, not the best production in the world, but it's just compelling.
Yeah, it is. I was intrigued when I heard it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard it before.
Oh, really? Okay.
Unique.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Weavers is pathetic, but I had to play it.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but this is interesting. Yeah. I have a feeling that there are probably at this point like 500 recorded versions of The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I said, BQE has a pretty good version of it, but. Yeah. I know, like you said, it's probably 126 or something versions.
Well, right, and what we want to find here, because I'm a glutton for punishment, is the worst. You know, with with 250 versions or whatever it is, what is the absolute worst? Who should be shamed for this? I'm going to have to, you know, I mean, the Kingston Trio did it. I don't even want to know. Marion Makeba, don't start with me, and on. But, yeah, we'll have to find out one that is just Sammy Lowe. That could be awful. Chris Barber and his jazz band. Ah, Little Petite Floor on the flip side. I don't know. So, yeah, this now I'm on a quest.
Okay, right. Well, I thought I'd just let you know about the Ladysmith and the Black
Ensemble.
Yes.
No, they sound great. They sound like they could be a church choir.
Great. It is. It's like choir a cappella.
Yeah.
Choir harmony is great.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks. Have a nice show.
Thanks a lot. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. We're going to talk to Nick in Baltimore here in a few minutes. Don't go away, Nick. We've got 2020 news, I promise. But real quickly, before we go to a commercial respite here, Cindy in Chicago, I'm laughing out loud. You want to know if Gladys Knight died? No, and the reason I'm laughing out loud, Cindy, is she has more lives than a cat. It's more than 9 times that I read her obit. And this is over the last decade. I mean, every couple years comes another announcement that Gladys Knight has died. As far as I know, at this moment tonight, she is very much alive and breathing.
Oh, okay. Well, then if you could play her song, I wasn't going to request it if she died. I don't know. But that song, You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me, that's a nice song.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do. And by the way, she's on tour, the Queen's tour, so she's not dead.
Well, I even Googled it. Usually if there's like a fake thing on Facebook and then you Google it, they tell you the truth. But this time I guess they didn't.
Well, as I say, early at the beginning of the year, there was viral claims that she was dead. And but then 2020, there were a bunch of them and all that. No, 2023, there were a bunch of she passed away Wednesday morning. No, she is still very. Oh, there was one in 2020, dead at age 74. No. And that was from Essence. All right, so no, she is absolutely alive.
Okay, well, the only thing is your show really helps, you know, to take my mind off of things. And good. I guess in the summer it's stressful, especially being on the third floor because, you know, it's like every time we get like a storm now, it's, you know, a tornado is coming.
Ah.
You know, and that Illinois is real, you know, it has moved up there. I think they're second behind either Kansas or Iowa for tornadoes. You know, it's just give it to God, but, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worrying.
Well, you know, like if it gets real bad, we're just going to go downstairs to the front corridor with the cat. I mean, we just do that. Because we're on the third floor.
All right. Well, stay safe.
Okay.
All right. Okay, thanks. So 888-876-5593. Nick coming up next in 2020, and plenty of room for you, too, if you want to join us on WGN Radio.
Every beat of my heart, there's a beat for you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Gladys Knight and the Pips, every beat of my heart. So Cindy got half of a request, and actually I got about a quarter of mine because I was hoping to play the original 1961 Fury version of that, but it wasn't. It was a re-sing, but it still wasn't bad. And yes, so I was looking this up, I thought, you know, maybe I spoke too fast, I better check. No, Gladys Knight is alive, but among the many comments of people who were all making a joke out of how many times she's dead online, one guy says, yeah, but have you checked on the Pips? That's hilarious. As far as I know, they're fine, too. All right, Nick is in Baltimore. Nick, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good morning, Raleigh.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Always.
Hey, thanks for playing the song the other night.
Oh, sure.
The Cornelius Brothers.
Yes, I love the Cornelius. You know, it was such a short period of time, but that one album had so many great things on it.
Oh, yeah. Great musicians, and I just love them. So.
Yeah, me too. And like I said, it was just a moment in time because, you know, they quickly broke up and went their very separate ways.
Yep. Well, I just wanted to throw a couple of radio things out to you. Story broke today we were talking about the old WQMR-GAY.
Right.
1050, they're changing call letters. They're going to take on the old WHFS calls.
Oh, really?
And they're going to pick up at Freeform WRNR stream, which it's an online thing, but they're going to be, that's the one that's running on the Annapolis station, WYRE.
Right.
They're going to simulcast it on 1050, and they have a 93.5 translator in both D.C. and in Annapolis, so...
Yeah.
So that's happening. I don't know when. Probably April 1st. I don't know.
Oh, that is interesting. And, you know, they start... HFS, the first time we heard those call letters were Bethesda. And, you know, then yep. Annapolis. And, yeah, and I guess they've been gone about 20 years now. So they're back. All right.
Yeah. They'll be back, yeah.
Okay.
Washington's High Fidelity Station.
Right, sure it did. Long before anybody was thinking about alternative music, yes.
Yeah. It was a that was an interesting point. Well, I think they were like easy listening or classical. I mean, it was a couple of engineers.
Yeah. Well, like all the FMs, they're more of a hobby than anything else because it wasn't viable. So, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the early 60s. Okay, the second thing I had for you was something people are going to have fun with. It's a stream URL site, and I sent you an email with the link in it, so it's in your email. It's a stream URL site. You just put in the station you want it. You go to this site, it looks like a radio. You put the call letters in there, and it'll come up with a list of stations. So
okay.
It's really kind of neat. They improved the site.
StreamURL.link. Which radio station are you looking for? All right, so I assume it doesn't have to be current, or are we talking about streams that are currently streaming?
It could be current. It could be also anything out there.
Okay. All right.
I think it's mostly stuff that's current, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know why I tried WEBC. And, let's bring back Duluth, shall we? And I got a dance station in Germany. So let's see. What else can we put into it? Interesting.
It probably doesn't have everything, but it has more stuff now than it did before.
I put WEAT and I got a bunch of weather things. And WBEN for reasons unknown to mankind. But this will be fun anyway. So streamurl.link. I love it.
All right.
That's fun. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Take care. You too.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Okay, bye. All right, so let's see. Donovan. Oh, this is exciting. Donovan in Vancouver. We don't hear from Donovan too much anymore, so this is a delightful time. So, Donovan, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's going on?
Hi, Raleigh. Not too much. I've just been busy skiing quite a bit this winter, as I usually enjoy doing.
Good for you. You know, I couldn't imagine doing it sighted. I can't imagine it doing it not knowing where the tree might be. But
that's what the guides are for.
Yeah, but.
But, yeah, well, it helps to have these, what I have is a Senna radio. Basically, it's what people would use, motorcycle riders would use in their helmets. And I have it screwed into my helmet, and the guide screws one into their helmet, and then we can have full duplex communication as we go down the hill.
Oh,
and when it gets to narrow stuff, they'll come beside me, grab my pole. One thing that I do love to do, and I always like to post my videos on Facebook or Instagram, is singing as I ski down the hill, which kind of leads me into my next kind of comment, because I was listening last night, and Mark was talking about some of his woes with joining choirs.
Right.
I have recently dipped my toe into that. Was recommended first off last fall to join a Welshman's choir here in Vancouver.
Huh.
Great group of people, but I'm 41, and the mean age is probably 65 years old. Some of these guys will have time to practice one, maybe 2 hours a day. I can barely get the practice done on a weekly basis. So
right.
It turned out, a few months in that, it was too serious a choir for me. And so I stepped away from it, but I've recently just joined a more of a community choir where it's still involved, but less so and less of a high level of commitment. But I would say I'm definitely on side with Mark in that, that's the toughest thing about for me. It's like, I want to get up there and sing, but actually putting in the time to put the practice in becomes a challenge. And the other piece is, I'm not sure if he has this with his church choir, but the two choirs I've been a part of, they actually have YouTube clips of the different harmony parts up.
Oh.
So you can download them onto your smartphone or computer and listen and practice along with them. So I think that's a valuable tool if you have the time to put it in, and hopefully any good choir would have put together a repertoire of this stuff as practice tools.
Hmm. Sounds good to me.
So, yeah, like it adds a big, you know, if you're able to know exactly what part you're singing, then it makes it so much easier when you come to rehearsal. I guess the other hurdle would be getting the stuff in Braille, and I've been able to find past places to do that, like take some embossing paper down and have it done at our local place. But that is, and even if you don't read music, I think having the lyrics in front of you while you're singing is a real help.
Oh, yeah, I would assume. And, of course, all of this presupposes that you can carry a tune, and I couldn't carry a tune if it had handles. So, you know, you have to have some basic ability before you embark on this.
Yeah, well, I've heard Mark's voice. I could see him being a decent singer and can carry a tune, but there are a few extra hurdles when you're not able to see what the conductor is doing.
Oh, of course.
And another piece would be, you know, if you're sitting with your section, whether it be tenors or altos, you know, having the person beside you kind of giving you a nudge as to when to come in and when to stop so that you're pretty well stay in tune with everybody.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line to this is it better be fun, because if it turns into tedium and work, then find something else to pass your time, because you have enough tedium and work without that.
Agreed. That's the one reason I switched to the second choir is, that and the first choir director kind of politely let me go because she knew it wasn't a fit for either of us. And plus, I realized that a lot of our spring concerts for that first choir were cutting into my ski time. So I said, no,
oh,
this is not gonna
be. Yeah, right. You're a man of priorities. I mean, let's get the story straight. Yes, I understand that.
I had another quick thing, and maybe I can just put this out there to people, but I'm actually thinking of taking a solo adventure this summer down to Tucson for a couple reasons. One, I've been a fan of this station, Bobby Rich's old station, The Drive, for years. It's my kind of go-to companion while I work from home. And I heard they are doing a concert this summer, bringing back all the, I think it's touring around the States. It's called the Happy Together Tour with the Turtles and the Cow Sills and the Trogs and a bunch of various 60s and 70s artists. And this kind of thing just spoke to me. And I thought, you know, I really, as much as there, you know, a lot of Canadians are saying we don't want to go to the U.S., I'm thinking, I don't really care. I would love to make this trip and go to the concert and explore a bit of Tucson. But just wondering if you or anybody else had knew any maybe potential resources that I could look into that might support a solo blind traveler in a place in Tucson, Arizona.
I will look for that. But firstly, as you know, the Happy Together Tour is in cities all across certainly the U.S. So, you know, it's fine if you want to choose Tucson just because of the drive, but it's virtually everywhere. So it's not the kind of thing where it has to be Tucson. All right, so I would think that Tucson probably did have some decent resources, College Town and all of that. So I would think there were, but then again,
okay.
I don't know. I would guess like you've got a number of things like SAVI or the Tucson Society for the Blind. I'd call them. Because they know. Yeah, SAVI is SAAVI, and of course, Tucson Society for the Blind is just as it sounds. And they've got Arizona Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired. But SAVI Services might know off the top of their head. So yeah, that's the way I'd go, is I'd call with people who are doing it.
Great. I'll give that a shot and see where they can direct me. And as of now, I've already found, I haven't booked anything yet, but there's a hotel that's fairly close to the Fox Theater. I think it's called the Leo Kent Hotel. It's the Marriott property.
Yeah.
So
okay.
At least I've got that central and a nice, I find, you know, staying in a nicer place, people are usually willing to, you know, lend a hand and take the extra mile. So then Uber, you can't go wrong with that. But
True enough. Leo Kent's right downtown. And it's a fairly small and walkable downtown, so that's not bad. So, yeah, well, keep me posted. Let me know.
I will, for sure.
All right, good deal. Great to hear from you. Thank you.
Thanks, Raleigh. Take care.
All right. So, yeah, we go once a year to the Tucson Comic-Con, which is usually around Labor Day. Chevy Drive Chicago is giving you the chance to win the car you want. It's Pick It, Win It, Drive It from Chevy Drive Chicago. Four great choices from which to pick. Need a dependable truck? Pick the Silverado. Ready to go EV? The Equinox EV is perfect. Want an SUV? The Blazer or Equinox is what you need. Entering is easy. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. In the meantime, shop your pick at your local Chevy dealer, proud official partner of your Chicago Bears.
Morning comes and you awake and think of her with every move you make. Nobody knows that but me. And when you're turning out your light, you dream the day you're gonna hold her tight. Nobody knows that but me. I'm the one that you tell. You say I understand you so well.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's Kat Edmondson. Well, Nobody Knows That. It's from an album in 2013, Way Down Low on OK. And Mike in Janesville wanted to hear it. I don't know why, but he has. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We'll start with Rita, and then we're going to go to news and get the rest of the story. But so, Rita, what's up?
Well, I was listening, and I heard Laura. I don't know what if she's in Illinois or not.
Yes.
She's in Illinois, around the Chicago area, maybe?
Yes.
Okay, because maybe we went to the same rehab.
Oh!
Oh, my God. I went through hell because I'm still going through hell. I was admitted this summer because I had to have a pacemaker put in. And before they put in a pacemaker, they have to give you an antibiotic and to cover in case you get infection.
Right. Hang on a minute. So, stay where you are. We're going to go to the news and we'll pick it up right there. So there you have it on WGN.
Have all the time in the world, time enough for life to unfold all the precious things love has in store. We have all the love in the world. If that's all we have, you will find we need nothing more. Every step of the way will find us with the cares of the world far behind. We have all the time in the world just for love, nothing more, nothing less, only love.
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. Eduardo requested that a while ago. We have all the time in the world. Louis Armstrong, 1969 on United Artists. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And what do we have here? We were talking to Rita in Harwood Heights until the news interrupted her, and so you were talking about rehab. So carry on, Rita.
Well, okay, I was in rehab. I had to have a pacemaker put in. So they had to give me an antibiotic before they could do that. And then they gave me a little piggybacks of antibiotic afterward. I had told them about all my multiple allergies to the drugs. And they knew that. But they said, oh, well, this one they thought was a mild one. It wouldn't affect me.
Yeah.
Everything would be fine.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's after you have a pacemaker put in, you usually go home the same day or the next day. What happened with me was I tried to stand up on my feet. I could not stand. I could not pivot to the chair. I had lost all control of my legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was apparently from that antibiotic.
Right.
They didn't want to listen to me.
No, absolutely. And that's 100% true with antibiotics. They just assume that, you're talking about the usual side effects and it's not a big deal. For many people, it can damn near be a killer.
Then they sent me across the street from Talcott to the other side where they have a rehab center. Well, mm-hmm. That was a disaster, too. And nothing went well there. And they were doing exercises with me with a stretch rubber band and everything. They were not supposed to lift my arm above my head with this new pacemaker. They were not supposed to have me stretching the arm. I wasn't supposed to lift more than 10 pounds, blah, blah. But they did.
Right.
And in the process, it tore my arm.
Oh, God.
So right now, I'm in severe pain all the time.
I'm so sorry.
I've got the torn muscle, the torn tendon in the left arm. And the left hand, of course, doesn't work well anyway. Before that, I was having trouble with the left hand. But the shoulder is not frozen. It's clicking, 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 and a lot of pain. And I went to an orthopedic doctor at North Shore, and he's been injecting it. But I haven't gotten any relief at all.
I'm so sorry.
And it's just been hell on earth for me. And the rehab, to me, is garbage. I got food poisoning when I was there. Nothing was going right, and you don't have a doctor there.
Yeah.
There's no doctors in the rehab. Even if you have a doctor who's supposed to be covering your case, they don't come. They don't come and see you, and even if you ask for them. And they have a nurse practitioner who works on the two floors. It's a two-floor place, and she's working with people on the first floor who are permanent patients, and then the rehab patients on the second floor. And she's the one who writes the orders. And if you disagree with her, and I felt like I had more knowledge base than she did because I'm a nurse too, and I've had advanced degrees. But she would not listen to what I wanted. She and I were just on the wrong side of the page all the time.
I'm really sorry to hear that. And, you know, sadly, it's important to find out as much as you can about, if you're going to go to a rehab facility, what it's about, because it varies. Not all are the experience that you had, but far too many are. So it behooves you next time to do some research in advance. And if they say you've got no choice, always remember you have choices. Always.
Yeah. Well, there was somebody who came who was just making her rounds as a visitor type of person, visiting patients. And she told, I wanted to go to another rehab. I was going to transfer to another one in the area. And she told me, she says, well, I've been over there to visit people too. And she says, it's no different than this one.
Well, there are probably a number of choices, but it's taking the time and the effort to do it. But remember, you're always in charge, and when people tell you have no choices, that's the time to walk.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
I felt like I needed an extra day of rehab.
Well, of course,
I couldn't even push the walker, and and they said, well, if you're going to stay an extra day, then we have to charge you because Medicare won't pay for that.
Correct.
So they were charging me $996 extra for one day.
So needless to
stay there to get an extra day of rehab.
Right, needless to say, you didn't. All right. I'm really sorry to hear that you went through this. I guess the upshot is hopefully the pacemaker procedure went well and that all long-term is going to be good, that what you're dealing with now is just sadly, an inconvenience.
But I was wondering if Laura, maybe she was given an antibiotic that she's reacting to.
Well, that absolutely could be. The idea that the antibiotics are benign is so far from the truth for many people. So that's a good thought. Maybe if she's listening, maybe she'll weigh in on that at some point. Thanks.
Yeah, because if she was able to walk before and now she can't walk.
Right.
You know, something's wrong.
Absolutely. And I don't know that it, quote unquote, is all in her head. I'm not willing to go there.
Yeah. So,
all right. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593, one line available for you. And let's see, what am I doing here? Yeah, that's always the question, isn't it? Eduardo is in Tampa. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Riley, how's it going?
Oh, we're here. How about yourself?
Good, good. I still haven't found that song, but I'm sure we'll find it somewhere along the line.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was going to comment about they had that ruling on Meta and YouTube.
Right, foreign ruling, yep.
Yeah, and I've never been a fan of social media, and I think that's kind of like been a problem with the young people because it's kind of like played with their heads and they should be more social and, you know, meeting people in person than being friends online. So that's hopefully something that'll change in the future.
Yeah, and there's been a couple of rulings lately. I think, are you talking about the one that just handed down today in Los Angeles?
This week, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just this week, right.
Because that, you know, yesterday we had news of another ruling. So it was a woman who was suing for her childhood addiction to social media, and that's fascinating in terms of that. Now, there will be appeals. You can bet on it. And it will be interesting.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Supposedly, she was awarded $6 million in damages. And, you know, obviously, there are other cases behind her if that were to stand. Clearly, Meta and Google are going to be appealing. They have to. And the bottom line, and I would agree with Meta's lawyers who had said teen mental health is profoundly complex and cannot be linked to a single app. And I think that part is deep. And true, you know, it's not as simple as one simple thing, you know, so I'd have to read all of it to know more, but I'm not sure that this is a case that will stand or should stand as far as that goes. Now, part of the European case, there were other things involved in that ruling that sounded like maybe they would stand and maybe they should. New Mexico, as you probably know, they found Meta liable for endangering children and all of this. And so it's interesting. Australia has a number of restrictions. The UK has a pilot program. And on and on it goes. It's not simple. And of course, we also should be getting into the fact: what is the role of the parent?
There you go. Yeah.
I don't think that can be. I don't think that can be left out of the equation. So there are, now I do think that Meta, Facebook, and all that, they know that children are using the platforms and all that. So there probably are things that need to happen. But in terms of $6 million for someone's mental health, I don't think it'll stand.
No.
So we'll see.
Is there a possibility of like filters so that way young people can go on there?
Well,
kind of like how they do with the pornography.
There's always
filter that out.
Yeah, there's always filters and there's always workarounds. As far as that goes. And many of the sites, it's as simple as you declare you are over a certain age, but you don't have to prove it. So is that really a filter?
Mm-hmm.
So it gets down to that. And, you know, and in terms of, like you mentioned pornography, well, the pornography that you're seeing online is not even the half of it. If you get to the dark web, you've got a whole other ball game. And there are certainly kids who are smart enough to get there. The only reason it's dark, by the way, people wonder what that means, is because it's not searchable. It's as accessible as any other URL, but you got to know the URL. You can't search for it. And okay. So, I mean, that's where really bad things happen. Let's just say that. I'll leave it at that. But you know, prescient kids, you betcha they can get there. But there again, that's yeah. why you have parental involvement, hopefully. So wouldn't it be nice if this were a black and white question? It's an area of gray, and you know, we're really at the beginning of a societal change. Really, we've talked about this often from the Industrial Revolution, and now it's all been the lead up to what the implications of the digital world will be. And we're in its infancy; we have no idea. But this is an interesting start.
Yeah, and. You know, now you have AI out there, and
well, and that's
almost like a new calculator.
Oh, that's going to be a real sticky wicket on so many levels, and yeah. You know, the courts are going to be awfully busy with that. And it is chilling to think that AI can, in fact, impersonate anyone. And you know, we talk about it when we're looking at a famous person or whatever. But if we think there's problems, for instance, in scams and banking now. A lot of the two-factor authentication relies on the likeness of the person. Well, with AI, you can have the likeness of the person in a picosecond.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are so many things. And you know that banking and others are very worried about the scam factor in this. You can see it in terms of what they put in place to try and access your own accounts and all that, which may inconvenience you, but ultimately they're working at it. But the problem is that it's just a drop in the bucket compared to what the scammers can do. And you compare that online with the rise in check scams where people are washing and baking checks and changing the payees and ripping off people for, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars collectively. So, yeah.
Yeah, you have to delete your browsing history, and I definitely support, you know, doing that security code because.
Well, right, but what I'm saying,
checking to see if you're Eduardo or not.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that with AI, anyone can be Eduardo. That won't get it. They're going to have to do more than that. You know, you can see it already.
So we're going to have an improvement on security.
I don't know what it'll be, but right now, most of the world is very insecure when it comes to anything online, tremendously so. And it's just the start. And believe me, the financial institutions are well aware. But, you know, how they handle it and what the upshot is going to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know. I fall into the old person's line, I've lived too long, and leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I'll leave you on this because I know you're in the last hour. So Monday, if they don't push this out, I'll be setting up an interview for HCA Brandon.
Good.
So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a rear transporter. So
now how far is Brandon from you?
That's not that far.
Okay. All right.
No. Yeah, all it's right. Drivable.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in one of those areas that I drive.
Okay.
Okay. Usually it's Clearwater or St. Pete's. I mean, Wesley Chapel, I mean, that's close, but because I'm in North Tampa.
Right.
But usually I don't go out like to Sarasota or...
Well, no, I mean, that would be... Know, that would be tremendously, but yeah, Brandon. Yeah. Brandon would actually be east of you, so
Brandon's drivable. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good deal. Well, let me know. Yeah. I'll keep my fingers crossed for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Once the thing gets set up for an interview, I'll let you know. Hey, I'm going in for an interview. I'll let you know.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right. Have a good weekend. Thank you, Raleigh.
Yeah. You too.
Yep.
888-876-5593. We got Mitch entering assisted living. Oh, man, that'll be a change. Fran and Austin, the choir. All right, Jim in Richmond. And, well, Elizabeth's calling in, too, in Rock Falls. We'll have to find out what's going on there. Keeping my fingers crossed there, too, on WGN Radio.
Cindy's birthday. No time for geometry, arithmetic, or history. Gotta write a song from my heart and paint the greatest work of art. Tie them with a ribbon made of gold and give them to Cindy. It's Cindy's birthday.
WGN Radio, I'm Molly James. 1962, Delphi Records. Yeah, Bob Keane still trying to get another mega artist a la Ritchie Valens. And that was Johnny Crawford, Cindy's birthday. All right, John says, shut up, so I will. Here's the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Aretha Franklin, and played it yesterday. She would have had a birthday, would have been 86 years old. And, you know, interestingly, everybody thinks of her in Detroit, and rightfully so, but she was born in Memphis and then lived in Buffalo before they moved to Detroit when her father became pastor of New Bethel Baptist. Her mother died before she was 10 years old, and before Aretha was 10, obviously, and she died in 2018. Now, the reason that I had played Cindy's birthday, if you were wondering, Johnny Crawford would have turned 86 today and died 5 years ago from Alzheimer's, and then he got COVID and pneumonia set in, and it was a rough last several years for him. But as I was saying, Bob Keane at Delphi was doing everything he could to replace the success he was having with Ritchie Valens. You know, he had tried Chad Romero, and then he was doing the Johnny Crawford stuff, because Johnny had a TV show at the time and all that. And then, of course, his last hurrah was Bobby Fuller. And we know what happened there. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Mitch in Baghdad, welcome back to WGN Radio. Tell me all about it. Okay, I think we lost Mitch. Yeah, said entering assisted living, and that can be a real change, obviously. It is a real change, but whether it's positive or negative depends on so many factors there. Again, talk about shades of gray. Elizabeth in Rock Falls, I don't think it's good news, so break it to me gently.
No, it's not. I had to tell him goodbye last Monday.
Oh.
It just happened very, very suddenly Monday morning.
Oh.
He'd been about the same on Sunday, still eating and no discomfort. And Monday morning he just took a terrible turn, and there was no question, you know, that we had to do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, you were a very good dog parent because you didn't allow him to remain in misery just to keep him alive, and that is...
No, never.
Right. It's a very hard thing to do, and it's just horrible for you. So, my deepest condolences on your loss.
It's just very quiet and lonesome in the house, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, the time will come, and you will know when you'll have another furry companion.
I'm not sure that would be fair to a dog, you know, at my age.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you're talking about rescue animals, particularly ones that are also not too young, it may be the greatest gift you could give them.
Well, I have to think about it very carefully.
Of course, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying get a puppy. You know, that might be problematic.
No.
I can see an Australian Shepherd coming into your... No, not like that. But there are so many dogs who are almost thrown away, which is just so unconscionable, by families who would love the chance to have somebody love them. So it's worth considering.
I will, Raleigh.
All right. But in the meantime, it is heartbreaking. And every time you walk through your house, there's something that reminds you of Mr. Chubbs.
Right.
Yeah, there's no getting around that. Yeah, yeah.
He reminded me when it was time to get up, when it was time to eat, when it was time to go to bed.
Right.
He
exactly.
Just knew my schedule.
Exactly.
Helps me remember what I was supposed to do.
Right. No, absolutely.
I only had him 4 years, but 4 years is a long time to get attached to a little pal.
Oh, of course, and you gave him a great 4 years, and never forget that. And I truly believe they are on the other side of whatever the Rainbow Bridge might be, and I truly believe that we'll see them again. But that doesn't help us now. Like I say, his loss is echoing. Every place you look is something else that's a reminder, and it's not easy.
It will get better. I've been through this is my fifth time.
Oh, yeah.
No. And I know it heals.
Yeah, that's...
Right now, it hurt pretty bad.
Absolutely. It's part of the bargain. You know, they say only the good die young, and dogs have just terrific hearts. They are good, but it leaves us behind, and it is painful, and grief is funny because it undulates. Whether it's grief losing people or losing pets, the bottom line is, you know, one day you think I'm really handling it, and the next day you're just kicked in the gut, and it's
it comes in waves.
Right, it does, and it's a process, and you'll know when it's time to be thinking of moving on. But for right now, you're honoring him with your thoughts.
Right.
I'm
he
so
was
sorry.
A great companion, and in a way, my protector, you know, because I live alone, and
sure,
that barking could ward off somebody up to no good.
Absolutely, yeah, and he was a wonderful, wonderful source of humor too with his eating habits.
Oh yes, and he ate well.
Yes, no doubt about that.
To the end, except for Monday morning.
Yeah, well, that's when you knew.
Oh, I didn't. There was no question.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
And I was worried about that. You know, you don't want to be too early, and you don't want to be too late.
Right,
Right. That I knew.
Right.
I knew.
That's it. Absolutely. Ultimately, I always say to people, you will know, and invariably you do.
You do, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, I'm so
Riley,
sorry.
Thanks.
Well, yeah, keep in touch. I want to know how you're doing, and you have my deepest sympathies.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
I
talk to you soon.
It.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
All right. Oh, that's such sad news. Yeah, Mr. Chubbs was absolutely a delight to hear about. And, yeah, rest in peace. I hope it's fun on the other side of the Rainbow Bridge. I suspect it is. All right, so is Fran still with us on WGN Radio?
I'm still here.
All right, thank you. What's up?
First of all, I'm so sorry, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I still, I had to put my guide dog down well over 30 years ago now, and she was with me for about a little over 10 years, and I mean, you know, of course, anytime I went somewhere, I would,
right.
you know, think, oh, I've got to get her harness, I got to get her leash, and, you know.
Right.
And sometimes, I've thought about getting another one, but with, you know, since I don't get out very much, they wouldn't get it wouldn't be fair to the dog. They wouldn't get enough exercise, although maybe that would get me out.
Yeah.
But anyway, but I wanted to express that. I'm really sorry to hear that, because I used to love to listen to the stories
yeah.
about him, because I thought, oh, he reminds me of me. He'll eat anything he can get his paws on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Especially stuff that's not good for him.
Right.
You know? A dog after my own heart.
Yeah.
But what I initially called about was some advice possibly for Mark about choirs.
Yeah.
Because I've been singing in choirs off and on since I was 7 years old.
Okay.
And one of the things that you can do is if you're trying to memorize your music, that's where you're going wrong. Don't try to memorize it. If your choir provides some kind of audio, I was going to say a tape, but that dates me, some kind of an audio with your part on it, and, you know, you're playing it, and you're trying to memorize it note for note, and you're trying so hard, and you're doing it, play it while you're cleaning the house, while you're making coffee, while you're doing something else, and then after you do that for a while, check in with it and see how much of it you've actually retained without stressing about it and worrying about, oh, I gotta learn this, oh my god.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know,
yeah, I like it.
Yeah, because I used to be able to memorize music in my sleep. I mean, it was just terrible. I hardly had to study and, you know, so forth. And then I got into more complex choirs and I got a little older and things weren't as easy. Another thing that he can do is team up or have whoever's in charge of the choir team him up with or team up himself with somebody who is a good music reader. And if you got a good ear, you can listen to them, and you can pick up, you know, follow what they do. I've gotten to where I can cut it off in a split second if I get it wrong. Mm. And then also, like, if you have a director directing the choir and they cut off a note and you're not sure, because some directors are not consistent with their cutoffs, and so sometimes they'll cut it off after 3 beats, and sometimes they'll cut it off after 2.5, and you don't want to be the one hanging out singing while everybody else has stopped.
Yeah.
So if I am not sure, I ask the person next to me, and usually I'll try to find a good music reader and sit by them, and I will ask that person, would you please tap me when she cuts this off?
Okay.
And usually they're more than willing to do that if they remember themselves.
Right. Right.
You know, but usually they're more than willing to do that. And as I say, if you have some kind of an audio form of your part for the choir, then you know, don't try to memorize it. Just, you know, like if you're sitting there drinking, you know, your whatever you drink in the morning or eating your breakfast or doing whatever you do, just play it like you're playing a radio.
Yeah.
And because you don't sit there and try to memorize the part, you know, I can sing all the harmony parts for various songs, and I never sat there and tried to memorize them.
Right.
I just heard them enough that I heard the parts and I could sing them.
Right.
And I could, you know, I could switch between parts and, you know, all of that. Now that I don't have the range I used to, it's, you know, a little harder, but, and, but those are some things that you might be able to do to be able to stay in the choir, and it's just too bad that, the choir director is just saying, well, you know, we see that you're not learning your music, so maybe it would be best if you're not in choir. No.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what, it might be best that he's not in that choir.
That might be.
Yeah.
That might be. You know, I know when I went from simpler choirs to one that was pretty complicated, you know, all of a sudden I had to work at it, and it was for a grade.
Right.
And so it was like, oh, and this has got to, I've got to work now?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, where it used to come like, you know, nature, like breathing to me. I have a pretty good audio memory. That's why I can do lyrics and stuff like that. But yeah, if you just listen to it and don't try to memorize it, don't even think about it. Just have it on in the background.
It's a good idea.
And see how much you soak up. And even if you can't do it for this particular choir, you know, maybe you could join. He could join a community choir or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm part of, or was part of, a non-auditioned women's choir.
Ah.
And it was, they took people all musical levels, so some of us were pretty advanced and some of us, you know, never sung in a choir in their lives, and the choir really sounds pretty good. You know, the director is very patient, and you know, so that just might not be the right fit. But if Mark wants to sing in a choir, I mean, those are some things, but especially getting next to someone who really reads music well and knows their part, and you sing kind of along with them and follow them until you learn it yourself.
Yeah. Oh, works for me.
And, yeah.
As long as it's
yeah.
fun, because again, these are not undertakings that net you any money, so if it stops being fun, then it's time to stop doing it.
Yeah, well, that's why I quit the choir I was in, and even though I kind of miss it in a way, I don't have the energy for it now, and I don't have the, you know, my memory is not what it was.
Oh, whose is? Exactly, understood that. Yeah.
And, you know, they're throwing stuff in German at me, and I'm like, oh, please, no.
Yeah, right, right. Right, exactly.
I used to be able to do that, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to work that hard for something that I'm volunteering to do.
Precisely.
You know?
Yes.
So although I miss singing with a group of people, I, you know, don't miss the work involved.
No, and I don't blame you. Well, hopefully if Mark wants to do it, he'll find something that is more his style, because it seems like there was a lot of pressure for no good reason if you're there to have a good time.
Yeah, and it sounds like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself.
Oh, yes, yes.
I understand that. I understand that, because once I went to a more complicated choir, I thought, I'm never going to be able to do this. I'm never going to be able to do this. And I did.
Right.
But I had a wonderful choir director who made sure that I had tracks of everything I was supposed to learn. And, you know, he put me into some of the smaller choirs that were within that choir, that were more of the advanced ones. So he had a lot of faith in my ability. And I think that also is something that you need to find somebody who's willing to work with you.
That's right, and who cherishes the fact that you're there and trying, rather than considers you somebody who's a problem. I agree.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway,
well, I appreciate the call, and your theme from A Summer Place is coming up next. I hope you enjoyed last night's Dee Dee Sharp.
I did. I really did. Thank you so much.
Okay, good. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
We'll talk to you. We'll talk next week.
Okay. I hope so. Okay, bye. All right, so we'll get to Jim in Richmond, hopefully get to 2022 before the night is over on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Theme from A Summer Place, and that was Max Steiner wrote that. And Hugo Winterhalter had the first release, and like within weeks after that, Percy Faith came out with it, and about September of 59, but it really ramped up. And I'll tell you, Summer of 60, man, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing that over and over. And yeah, it takes me right back there every time I hear it. Yeah, I can feel the sun on my, and the heat on my body, and just everything that was going on at a time when somehow life seemed easier. But of course, you can always say that when you're younger. Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio. You're closing the show tonight.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I called you for another subject, but there's three subjects that came up afterwards. Number one, I'm sorry, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And I'm get to the point where if she wants bear, I will drive all the way to drop him off if she wants him.
Aren't you kind? Well, let's see. I think right now she can't make any decisions. You know what it's like right when that happens. But it's a wonderful offer. What else?
And also, too, is the last two callers, you know, with my stroke, I'm trying to remember. But Laura and Rita,
yep.
My sister's going through the same thing, and I'm with there for them.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
And finally, thank you for everything you do for me.
Oh, absolutely. And, well, you know, I'll know that I've made a difference when you are not saying I can't and you'll be telling me how you can. And I can't wait for that day. And we're pulling for you, Jim, all the way.
Right. But everyone that that's involved with me can't understand what I'm going through.
Well, no, of course, of course they can't.
Tonight is a thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you to Fran, because I greatly respect you what you're going through. I mean, what you've been through. And Karen in Wisconsin, I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional tonight.
Yeah, I know. And that's all right. And we know what's in your heart, and we will talk to you next week.
Right, and I want to thank Linda in Richmond Park and everyone involved.
All right.
I love you all, but I think I'm giving up.
No, you're not. We're not even going to hear that. I'm going to cut you off right there and say, we'll talk next week. You are not giving up, and I can't
wait
to. No, you're not. I promise you, you're not. I wish I had more time other than to say you're not, but you're not. All right, so that's it. That's a wrap, and hopefully it's not a wrap for Jim. We'll be talking to him more. It's tough all the way around, absolutely horribly tough. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. Yeah, dealing with me is not easy, and because I can't tell time. We thank John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling, because that's what makes the show fun to do. So we'll do it again Monday night with Monday Night Trivia. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.